Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Glad to be back in the studio, the Carolina Sports Plus studio. I'm here on this wonderful Wednesday night in the studio. Joining me tonight is my co-host, Mario. Mario, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. How you doing today?
I'm here. I'm glad to be here. You know, before we jump into things, I started to wonder. I was like, damn, football's over with. You know, we just got back on the air. You know, we got to find things to talk about. But I tell you what, the sports world doesn't let us down. So we got plenty to jump into tonight. Looking forward to this. Before we do that, one, make sure you guys go over to www.110nationsportsradionetwork.com. We can find all our shows. All of them get posted over there. It also gives you links to find our shows on different apps. I know some people listen to podcasts on iHeartRadio, on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, all these different types of platforms. It'll send you there. There's links to all those. We're on all those platforms. That way you can follow it on that platform and just catch the shows over there versus either having to tune into Blog Talk Radio or go to our website. So make sure you guys do that. If you're interested in joining the 110 Nation, maybe you have a show on a different platform and you want to get it syndicated on our platform to, one, A, be part of the 110 Nation, but also to help get your show promoted on different platforms such as iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Spreecast, Google Podcasts. I can go on and on. Just hit me up, MrCJSports@gmail.com. Seem like there was something else I was going to say before that, but maybe not. Mario, let them know where they can find you where you're located on the World Wide Web. I don't think anybody says it that way anymore, but the World Wide Web and Facebook as well.
Okay. We're located in Carolina Sports Plus. Is located in Rayford, North Carolina, 1318 Highway 401 Business. And we also on online. You can find us at CarolinaSportsPlus.com. And we're on Instagram and Facebook also on CarolinaSportsPlus.com. Carolina Sports Plus.
Of course, when I was in North Carolina, I don't think you had that building yet where you're located at.
No.
Tell me a little bit about the building and tell me what the biggest seller is for you right now.
Well, right now, how I got the building, I was doing business inside the plant where I was working at the time, and was doing business with them, and they had a nice big size open area on the side where they're connected to, on the gas station, and they let me have it. So, and it's been going on ever since. You know what I mean? They're having a good time being in there and seeing people come. And I come in there every once in a while to stock up and speak to customers and do little cleanups and stuff like that. But, you know, things are going good right now, just steady growing. But, yeah, I didn't have it when you was here. I was just starting it, but I really, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of a good thing. It's a good thing. Things are rolling. You know, not a website is going, and now we're getting in the shoes and things like that. So, you know, it's just all about growing and doing different things in sports. But our biggest seller, as far as team-wise, you got to be them Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Cowboys. You go anywhere with Cowboys, you can do a little something. So
That's crazy. You're only about an hour and a half or so from Carolina Panthers home field.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be Bank
mm-hmm.
of America. I don't know if it's still the Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
You're right up the road, 30, 45 minutes from the Tar Heels, Duke, and NC State,
yeah.
Wolfpack.
Yeah.
It's crazy
mm-hmm.
to know that the Dallas still has a hold mm-hmm. on the fan base down there.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, of course, Duke is next. Duke will run a little bit below Dallas Cowboys. But yes, it's crazy to think that Dallas Cowboys and it's constant. It's, you know, what you got something new. You know, so I can honestly say the Dallas Cowboys, you know, that marketing team is really good. So, you know, that's a deep fan base, but they do sell.
Make sure you guys go and check that out. That are local. If you're not local, make sure you guys check out the website. For those that are not.
Oh yeah, please do. Hello.
I heard you call. Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit now. You just went out again.
All right, do you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. I don't know, you couldn't hear me, and then I accidentally hit the end button or the hang-up button on my phone when I was trying to make sure I wasn't muted. But like I was saying, one of us got it right, one of us got it wrong. I didn't want to brag on who got it right. I did, but I was more interested in it being a close competitive game that went back and forth. And we definitely got that this last weekend for the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, most definitely, yeah.
I wish
what you think
that
about these
Mahomes
refs? What you think about these calls? What you think about how these officiating been calling this year? How do you feel about that? Just a little quick, you know what I mean? Quick question. Do you think it's all right? It's part of a game, or you know what I mean? That's how it usually goes.
The way I feel about officiating, right out the gate, first of all, I feel if you take care of your business, a bad call or two is not going to determine a game.
Okay, I agree.
That's
a fair statement.
We've seen a catch that should have been a catch on Philadelphia's side that there wasn't enough where it wasn't a catch.
Mm-hmm.
It was close enough that they couldn't overturn it. We watched Jalen Hurts fumble the football and the Kansas City took it to the house. And so, you know, if that fumble wouldn't have happened, then the outcome, the call wouldn't have made no difference.
I'm not even saying that part. Yeah.
Even with my teams, I feel, and there's been times that a bad call changed the outcome of the game, but I also look back to the whole game. You know what? If we would have turned the ball over, if we wouldn't have done this
mm-hmm.
or we wouldn't have done
mm-hmm.
that, if we would have took care of everything we could have took care of, it would have turned out that
mm-hmm.
call or two.
I agree.
The refs are not perfect.
No, they're not.
And let's be honest. Let's be 100% honest, though. Every play, if they really wanted to nitpick, they could call a penalty.
Yeah.
There is a foul,
mm-hmm.
a penalty,
oh,
whatever what
play.
Sport
yeah.
you want to play, you're talking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you kind of got to figure, there's got to be a balance there. That pass interference call, I can see where the referee called the pass interference. He held him more than once there. I also agree. I wish they would have let it play out. It is the Super Bowl. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like, it wasn't even a catchable catch. He wouldn't have caught that ball, even if he wouldn't have thought.
That's a good one. But that was just a question I had. But I feel you on that.
So are they going to get it right? Most of the time, probably not. But you got a bunch of older men out there and women trying their best to watch 22 grown men. There's only, four or five of them out there most of the time, except a couple of them. They're in really good shape. Most of them are not in the best shape in the world. They're at their latter part of their life. It's, you know, but like I said, if people complain about a missed call here or a missed call there or them calling something they don't agree with, I guarantee if Philadelphia, it would have gone, it would have been the other side of the ball. They wouldn't have complained, and the Chiefs fans would have complained. Yeah. But like I said, every play, there's a holding play. There's holding all the time. There's pass interference all the time. I try not to get into that whole controversy of calls because they're human. I don't know if we talked about this on the last show, but I was watching the Pat McAfee show or whatever it's called. We're a big fan of that in the house. That's the only sports show I can get her to watch. And it's not that we watch the actual show, but I'll watch different clips of the Pat McAfee show. I almost got her to slip up and say the only show she'll listen to, but she worded it to make sure she didn't say that. Because I was about to be offended she wouldn't listen to my show. They had Sean Payton on it, and they were talking about it. And I never thought about this until he brought it up. Because they're talking about the new technology and wanting to have these different chips in the ball so they can determine where the ball actually where the ball should be placed when they're down or different things during the game to help kind of make the game better. And one of the things they brought up, and I never thought about this, how many times have we watched a punter punt the ball and it go out of bounds? And you watch that official on the sideline just run all the way as far as he wants to run and decide that's where the ball is going to be placed. Yeah. That's where he feels it went out of bounds, and nobody ever questions it. Not once has anybody challenged it. Not once has anybody ever questioned it. It's never been a debate. So you're going to tell me of all the things the referee does, this is the one thing that you're not going to question is where you think the ball went out of bounds when he is all the way down to the pylon usually at the end zone and he's running all the way up the sideline trying to determine when he feel it best went out of bounds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did we get into this last week?
Do you think the NFL script? Did we talk about that last week?
I was thinking about that because they talked about the script, and I saw someone release something. The script next year is going to be Dallas and Cincinnati Super Bowl. Yeah. And I can't remember if we got into this conversation. I know it was on our agenda. I don't think the NFL script. I believe different things, do I believe the election was perfectly honest? No. Do I believe that there's more behind all these things we're shooting out of the sky? Yes, I believe there's more to it. But when it comes to the NFL, I have watched people like Odell Beckham make catches that you never would have imagined to be ever be done. Mm-hmm. I've watched, you know, grown men leap other grown men. Like, there's too many variables to say it's script. I feel at times, there's some missed calls or some bad calls, or there's some unexplained how that receiver caught the ball or how did that quarterback need, you know, get it in and needle the thread or thread the needle or whatever and make it where that receiver is the only person who can catch it amongst six people standing there. But to feel that it's actually scripted and expect 22 grown men at a time and 53 or six players total to follow suit and it play out the way the NFL wants it to play, I can't see that.
I got another good one. It was brought to my attention. Well, how do you feel about that guy, Hamlin? Did you see what he wore at the Super Bowl?
I tried to read into that. I read it, what Adrian Peterson was talking about, but I didn't understand all of it. It's been a hectic week, so I didn't really dig deep into it. I know that there was some godly stuff on it and some saying on it. Maybe you can enlighten me more on where he was going at with it.
I really didn't look into it, but from what I saw was the Jesus on a cry on the cross, like cartoon characters, and I know it was called the jacket cost, you know, a couple thousand dollars, and I also saw that there's some pictures of him before. While he was playing with a tattoo on his neck, and then there's pictures from the Super Bowl with the tattoo gone. So, you know, so it's just a weird situation going on. You know, not trying to be
conspiracy theorist.
There you go.
I saw the same picture because it also looked like the ear was a little bit different as well. But I did see that it was a tattoo of the cross on the neck. Then it wasn't there no more. My only thing with that, and I want to look into it. I didn't want to look too deeply into it because I don't know without going into the whole article. But also I know that you could Photoshop pretty much anything. So whoever posted that originally could have Photoshopped the cross off his neck, made it so you couldn't see it in the second picture. So I try not to try to dig in too much into that. I did see that, and it did intrigue me, but with everything going on, I tried not to get sucked into that at the same time. To the same note here, talking about the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now the conversation of Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady is becoming more and more of a thing.
Oh, yeah? Yes, it is.
Yeah. And like I discussed in the previous show, I don't ever really get drawn into the greatest of all time. More so, I guess at this point, more so the NBA, because you didn't really have an overlap other than Kobe and LeBron for a moment. But Kobe at that point was coming on the backside of his career for the most part. And LeBron was young in his career when they were both, you know, for most, you know, a good chunk of that. So I don't like to compare. You know, I feel that Jordan was the best in his era. I feel Kobe was the best in that gap before LeBron kind of took over the torch. Then LeBron became the best of his era, I'm not going to say of all time. We had a little bit more of an Well, I'm not going to say we had a little more overlap. We had 5 years on overlap between these two. But I can't – for the most part, Tom Brady's had the better of Patrick Mahomes. And so, once again, I'm still not going to get drawn into the greatest of all time. But you have people like I watch First Things First. I think they've got the chemistry of the three guys on there, Chris Broussard, Nick Wright, and Wilds, whatever his name is. They're really good. Yeah. They're humorous and really good. Of course, Nick Wright, he hangs from the Kansas City Chiefs nutsack like he is Kansas City through and through. And he is already ready to crown, you know, Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT now. I'm not ready to have that conversation, or do I like to get into that conversation. Even if I was going to get into that conversation. Yeah, you're talking Tom Brady, 10 Super Bowls,
just
7
a little bit more.
Super Bowl wins.
Just a little bit.
I don't know if I feel a little bit. I think there's got to be a lot more to prove. Like almost every record out there Tom Brady has got, and then you're talking about he's got more Super Bowl wins than any other franchise. A single player has more Super Bowl victories than any other franchise. I'm not ready to even entertain the possibility of this being a conversation.
I'm not either. It's still going to take some time, some healthy years, more Super Bowl rings. You know, it's gonna take some time. As far as age, 27, you know, that's debatable too. You know what I mean? The time was different coming off the, you know what I mean, him coming off the bench and then run heavy, but you know what I mean. So it's just a different time. But as far as age, you know, his numbers are better. But
I hate that argument.
Got a long way to go.
I hate that argument. And Nick brought that Nick Wright brought that argument or that whole thing up, comparing the age. What do you accomplish in the first 5 years? Or
yeah,
it's different. You figure that the Bill Belichick team early on for Tom Brady was a defensive team. They won
defense,
the championship for that defense. Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, you got to figure that Tom Brady wasn't drafted, expected to go in when Drew Bledsoe got injured that quickly. He was, seventh-round pick, 199th pick or whatever it was. Patrick Mahomes was drafted early. They had all intentions of getting Patrick Mahomes in there. They were drafted for two different reasons to proceed two different routes. And then you're also talking about a league now that is more pass heavy because of the rules protect the quarterback and the receivers more. Don't care about the running backs anymore.
Yeah.
You got 17 games now versus 16 games. You got one more game in the playoffs now as well.
Yeah.
Because you got the extra playoff game or playoff game or whatever. So much change, and that's why I don't like get into the greatest of all time conversations, because this is a prime example of how the league has changed, how it's a more of a quarterback and passing league, how there's more games, how there's more playoff games, how all these things. So to throw up what Tom Brady did in the first 5 years of his career versus which were very comparable. They both had 50 touchdowns. I think Mahomes had a couple more yards. And the passer rating was about the same, and the yards for whatever was about the same. It wasn't like there was this just very distinctive difference. With more games and more playoffs and pass protecting the quarterback more. You know, back in the day, they were allowed to basically take the quarterback's head off. I just don't like getting into that conversation because it's an unfair comparison. The big comparisons I'm more worried about is the total passing yards, what Tom Brady was saying, because the latter part of his year, he got to benefit from the pass-heavy league. I want to talk about the Super Bowls. The going to 10 Super Bowls, or the fact that he's won more Super Bowls than any other franchise, the fact that he was able to leave one system and instantly go into another system and win a Super Bowl. I don't know if I could see Patrick Mahomes leaving Kansas City, go to another franchise, and instantly take him to a Super Bowl and win.
There's
not too many. I don't know if there's any other quarterback other than Tom Brady that I could see doing that. Like that's something phenomenal to spend 20 years in a organization and say, you know what, I'm going to Tampa Bay. You add a Gronkowski, and I think they brought in Larry Fournette that year. And of course he stayed there. Fournette stayed there the rest of the time. And you didn't really do a whole lot else. Like, it wasn't like you reassembled this team. And all of a sudden, you went from a team that was not playoff contender to all of a sudden you win a Super Bowl. There's not too many teams out there that could do that, or too many quarterbacks that could go out there and do that, period.
Yeah. I agree. That's a fair statement.
What's your thoughts with the whole Mahomes and Tom Brady?
My thing is, he still has a lot more to do. You know, I think he has benefit from the Andy Reid open flow offense concept, a scheme, how they play. You know, they're very modern, you know what I mean? And, you know, as far as the play calling, the routes they run, how they call plays, you know, but he has a long way to go. From what he's doing right now, you know, he's doing great things now. I can say that. You know, as far as going to the Super Bowl, going to the AFC, you know, and he only been in the league 6 years, but really started 5 years. So the last 5 years, where he got two Super Bowls, and five AFC championship games. So you know that's something to be accomplished about. But I think he still has a little bit more time to see if he can outlast Tom Brady. Because right now, you know, he still gets dinged up, and how he plays, he's not a full-blown running quarterback, but he takes hits though. They didn't get to him in the Super Bowl, but he's always subject to a big hit. But Tom Brady did get to him because
you saw the pain. I said that, but they did get to him. I think he might have ran, but remember he was in a lot of pain going into halftime, and then he came out.
Them doctors did.
I saw somebody meme. They show him struggling and the pain in his face going into halftime, and they talk about go to halftime, take a 30 perk, and he come out and he's with Mahomes with his tongue hanging out, and of course he's doing his thing. We knew that ankle was going to be a concern, but Let's jump into something else here. Major League, of course, I don't watch a lot of Major League Baseball games. Baseball to me is like most people is in NASCAR, where they'll go watch a race at NASCAR, but they won't sit there and watch a NASCAR race. And to their defense, yes, going to a live event, and I've been to probably at least 100 races in my lifetime, from as a fan to all the events I've gotten to go as media, it is a totally different experience going as a fan, going there versus watching on TV. Same with baseball.
I always have a good time. If I catch it, I like them last 20 to 30 laps. Them last 20 to 30 laps is very interesting.
Yes, very much so. We'll definitely be this next weekend coming up Sunday for those that don't keep up or didn't realize, looking at the calendar, Daytona 500 is Sunday. So it's definitely going to be a good weekend.
Yeah.
We got a weekly racing pool over at Race Chat Live. So looking forward to seeing how I fare out. I think I won one of the series last year, but Miss Lee won overall. This year we involved the fans that listen to Race Chat Live, and we have a 14-man pool broken up into two pools, a 7 and 7. Top four will go on to the playoffs. Winner of the regular season wins $25 each. Winner overall wins $110 for the 110 Nation. So looking forward to that. But baseball, one of those where I have partial season tickets. Like you guys have the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. We have the Dayton Dragons. This is the same. You guys are affiliated with the Houston Astros. We're affiliated with the Cincinnati Reds. We have those here. Last year we had partial season tickets. In other words, we split half season, half of a full season ticket. So in other words, there's 66 home games. My mother, myself, and my sister-in-law, we split 33 games. We each get, 33 games? Yeah, we got 11 games each. And then Joey Votto came one game off his rehab, so I bought tickets for that, and it was another game I went to. I forget who else showed up from the Cincinnati Reds. Not being a Cincinnati Reds fan, but it was still a big deal to go see these games. The Dayton Dragons field, the Day Air Park is a phenomenal, and they just got like $6 million or something to do upgrades, so looking forward to that this year. They've been around for about 20 years. But a phenomenal stadium. You wouldn't even know that stadium is 20 years old, but we got partial season tickets. So looking forward to that. But I enjoy going to that. I used to be, for those that have listened for a while know this, for those that have not tuned in a while, used to be a diehard Cleveland Indians fan, but they did the whole woke thing, no longer Cleveland, what's being Guardians, so I no longer have a Major League Baseball team. So I just support the Dayton Dragons, which it's much cheaper. And it's much closer, so I have no issue with that.
Yeah.
We'll probably end up about 15 games this year. It's literally a 10-15 minute drive. It's right around the corner from my work. Versus Cincinnati is about an hour drive. Cleveland would have been a few hour drive. So
that's good. That's good entertainment. Good entertainment and good travel time.
Yes, and see, I'm not one to sit around and watch one on TV, but I will go to a Dayton Dragons where I will watch a baseball game live. So I'm not sure if the whole timer thing was even a thing in Major League Baseball. I know the timer thing was, and maybe they did it first in the Triple A or High A's or the affiliate teams first, but we had a timer. We, you know, you watch them in the timer where they had to make pitches. But this year for Major League Baseball, it changed to, you got 15 seconds with when the bases are empty. So a pitcher has 15 seconds to pitch a pitch. When there's nobody on base, 20 seconds if there's a runner on base, 30 seconds in between hitters. So the hitter's got 30 seconds in between to get up and get ready. Hitter gets one timeout per plate appearance. Violation are automatic balls or strikes. I've read the comments on there. There's kind of mixed reviews on this whole rule change and A-or rules. A lot of this came from the stem of watching, because, of course, in extra innings, they changed the rules with that as well, because you had games that were dragging out and going to wee hours of the morning that went into extra innings and everything else. And there are some games that last all day long because of extra innings and everything else, or constantly trying to get somebody out of first base, or batters calling a timeout. With this, pretty much every sport has some kind of rule to kind of keep the flow of the game going. And I know some of the traditional baseball fans, well, this is what made us a little bit different than other sports. And everybody has a few things that makes them different from other sports and like to hold on to that. But I can't imagine wanting to drag out a game, especially a low-scoring game. Now, you're having a back-and-forth game, which usually doesn't drag out because it's back-and-forth, and you know, the game kind of flies.
A lot of hits,
then I can see that.
Balls, a lot of double plays.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of
But to sit there and watch a pitcher, it just dragging out. You're seeing a lot of people get walked.
Nah.
You're seeing a lot of nobody wants to see that, you know. And so I like the fact that Major League Baseball is trying to kind of keep some kind of pace, trying to keep some kind of interest. Because even NASCAR, that there's been talks of trying to possibly shorten races because some people don't want to watch a 4-hour race. Traditional NASCAR fans do want to. I'm not going to lie, some of the races I wish they would shorten up. Some of the races there's certain tracks that I'm not a big fan of. And I'll tell you one of them I'm not a big fan of is right around the corner from you, and that's the Charlotte Motor Speedway. I have been more than any track that I've been to. But the fact of the matter is usually one or two people dominate that track. The last time I went to Charlotte, I watched Martin Truex Jr. lead like 90 or 95% of the laps. It was a snoozer. He pretty much lapped the entire field. There was one year that I watched Casey Kane run away with the show. I watched one year up until the white flag and Dale Jr. blew a tire. I watched Dale Jr. run the show. Usually, there for the longest time, it was called Jimmy Johnson's house because he would dominate that race. There's just certain tracks out there that I have no interest in watching because of the type of racing, and usually one person dominates the entire race. So I have no interest. And so there is some tracks, yes, I wish they would shorten it up somehow. But I am a fan of trying. It's not necessarily I feel that I want them to shorten the baseball games. I just want there to be a flow. There's nothing worse than being sitting there in that hot sun beaming down on you, and there's no flow of the game. You just feel like you're sitting there watching the paint dry. I'd rather, if it's going to be a long game, I want it to be a long game because there's a reason, because it's back and forth or they're tied, and it's an intense game, not because people are trying to throw, the pitcher's trying to throw the base runner out at first base or second base or third base over and over and over, or batters calling a timeout, or they're constantly making trips to the mound. So I like the fact that they're trying to make some kind of flow that would, A, help speed up the game some, but also to kind of just help the flow of the game so there's not a bunch of dull moments in dragging out.
Yeah. Who's your favorite NASCAR driver?
Kyle Busch.
Okay.
I am a Rowdy fan.
All
right. And it blows my mind because so many people hate Kyle Busch. But he is the closest thing on the track as there is to a Dale Sr. that everybody loves. And so it blows my mind because there ain't nothing that Kyle Busch doesn't or can't do on that track. Have you had a chance to go to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers games at all?
No, I sure haven't. No, I sure haven't. I've been going. My last baseball game was Durham Bulls. Because I don't say I moved since the last time that I saw you. I'm closer to Raleigh now. So, but yeah.
Gotcha.
My last game I went to was Durham Bulls. But I like baseball. Baseball is all right game. I used to play baseball growing up. Play second base. Played second base in baseball.
Yeah, I played catcher, or I played pitcher, and then I ended up going to catcher. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I got to go. I went to quite a few Fayetteville Swamp Dogs games. That was some good fun.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, they're kind of a. Basically, the Swamp Dogs, to kind of put it into perspective, they are the high school kids during their summer break before they go to college is what they go play to kind of keep in shape, kind of work on fine-tuning their skills. It is a family fun. And I'm assuming they still have the Swamp Dogs. Who knows?
Yes, they do.
But they are – okay. They are a family-friendly, small – it's a small stadium. There's not a lot of seating there. But it's a fun time. It's a family event. In between innings, they do different things. You get the kids out there. There can be throw pies in your face things. There could be a run around the bases thing. Very, very family-friendly, very fun activity with some baseball included to it. Because there's really, at the end of the day, you're not being called up. You're not – it's just kind of in between high school, college, just to get them to be able to work on the skills, but basically keep in shape is all that really is. There's really no other purpose in the Fayetteville Swamp Dogs. We were supposed to go to, before I moved back, we were supposed to go to a Fayetteville Woodpeckers game. Unfortunately, it rained out. Two guys that were part of the 110 Nation, they've gone on to do other things. I don't know if actually they're still in the air no more. I ain't talked to them in a while. We all actually met up at my house. We were about halfway there, and it got canceled. That was the closest I ever gotten to, because the Fayetteville Woodpeckers were only around maybe a season, maybe two seasons before I moved back, before I moved back to Ohio. I wish I would have got to check them out. For those that don't know, they are affiliated with the Houston Astros. But outside that, North Carolina didn't have a professional team. I know that they've been working on different things for Charlotte. I don't know if that ever happened or not. I think if they ever get serious about an expansion team, Charlotte would be one of those cities they'll look at. Never got to do the Woodpeckers, but did do the Swamp Dogs.
They, not trying to go backwards, but Hamlin just made a statement about what he wore to the Super Bowl. Not trying to backtrack, but
what do you think?
It says after talking with my parents, I understand how my coat could have offended some people. It was never my intention to hurt or disrespect anyone. The coat is abstract art to me. And it says eternal, which I am eternally thankful for my savior. I'm sorry. But yeah, that's what he said. You think, I just saw something else too, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
I saw something about the Lakers. You think, it said the Lakers has to win at least 16 of the last 24 games just to make the play-in tournament. But that's a hard stat to think about because everybody else got to play too. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if they're only 2.5 games or 3 games back out of fifth place can lose 2 or 3 games back-to-back-to-back easily. NBA is a lot competitive now. I can say that.
The move taking KD to Phoenix, I think for me put Phoenix in the driver's seat. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you do it or not. I think we might have talked about it. I can't remember the last show talking about the sports book stuff, the sports betting stuff. Mm-hmm. I got referral things, so I got free money on FanDuel and I got free money on DraftKings. So I kind of been playing a little bit of both. I've gone through my free money, so I still got 30-40 bucks of real money on each of them. And once that trade happened, I went ahead and put a $10 bet, which would pay off, I think, $50. I don't do anything crazy. I'm really just trying to nickel and dime myself up to build up my account. The other night, last week, Dallas screwed that up when Luka missed his shot. Dallas lost. I had a $10 bet on a parlay for that. And of course, Mahomes, 43 yards short. Who would have thought that Jalen Hurst would have had more passing yards? Ruined a parlay on that for me. But anyway, I would have put a $10 bet on the Phoenix Suns to win $50 to win the championship. To me, they're sitting in the driver's seat. I feel more confident in the Suns, and I feel more confident in Dallas at this point than I feel in the Lakers winning a championship.
My big thing with the Lakers
is one, LeBron's age and not be able to play the minutes. Back to back to back to back. He can play. He can give you 38 minutes, but then he's going to need the next couple nights off. And so if there's a game, then you're not getting him that next game. And then consistency of AD staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 100% sure. Do you think the Lakers can make the playoff or the play-in game?
I don't know. I'm watching tonight and see how they do, but they just got to be on the court. If they're not on the court, like if LeBron James don't play, you don't got a full team. They can't beat everybody just with AD, because the NBA. One thing about NBA and basketball now, it's starting to get even. Everybody's at AAU camp. Everybody's at, you know what I mean, if you're best on your team, you're gonna get the points. And NBA is more open now than it was before. Mm-hmm. If you can't shoot, you can't play. You know what I mean? That's just being honest. Now growing, you know, back then, if you could play defense, you was going to play. We're going to throw the ball in. It's not like that anymore. It's open space. With open spaces, if somebody comes double me and I kick it out to you and you can't shoot and you bricking, you can't play. No matter how good your defense is, you can't play because you're a liability. Nobody plays defense anymore. More people are getting up more shots, and the time clock in the NBA is a little bit – it's really slow just because you're going to get shots off within the first 24 seconds. You're going to get shots off the first 15 seconds when you throw the ball inbound. So But the, if they don't play together, it's just hard. Just because the Lakers, I think they just don't got enough firepower to last without LeBron James if he don't play. Now, if they get in, do you want to see the Lakers play? You know what I mean? First round against the Sacramento Kings or something like that? Oh yeah, I would love that. But it's just about getting there first. And if LeBron James don't play, the team don't go.
No. This is what we're looking at. Tonight, the Lakers are home against the Pelicans, who are like 30-28. And the Lakers have a losing record. Then the Lakers are home against the Warriors. They travel to go against Dallas on Sunday. The Pelicans and the Warriors game is a back-to-back night. They play tonight and tomorrow night. The Mavericks on Sunday in Dallas. They go to Memphis for the Grizzlies on Tuesday, which is a back-to-back night, because then they travel to Oklahoma to play the Thunder on Wednesday night. And then they're home against the Timberwolves, home against the Warriors, home against the Grizzlies. I'm not going to read through the rest of it, but even their next five to seven games might eliminate them right there out of that chance.
Yeah. You can't even sit there and say, that's a win, and that's a win. Because all them games, they just got beat by the Thunder a couple nights ago. And that was with LeBron James breaking the record on that night, you know what I mean, and losing that game. So that was kind of like, you know.
Yeah, they've lost four out of the last five. They lost to the Pelicans, lost to the Thunder, lost to the Bucks. They beat the Warriors and lost to the Trailblazers. So they've lost four of the last five as it is.
Yeah, I'm going to watch them play tonight.
Now, after we went off the air Wednesday night, that's when the KD to the Phoenix Suns happened. What do you think about that?
That's a very good trade. Just because with KD and Booker, you know, that's two dominant wings that can fade away, shoot the mid-range. You know, that ain't nothing but cutting, picking and rolling and picking and rolling, and you're going to get to a spot and you're going to shoot up. You know, and then with Ayton, he didn't have to leave either, and that's rebounds all day long. Because you're gonna have to double off that pick and roll. You know what I mean? So there's gonna be somebody going to KD when he comes around a corner in that mid range. So that's two people. You shoot the ball up, Ayton's gonna grab everything off the rebound. You know, my thing is now, you know, it's gonna have to be about the bench. If KD can stay healthy, even Booker. Because Booker haven't been healthy either. He just really got back too, along with Chris Paul. You know what I mean? With Chris Paul and his age, you know, does he got one more little good run in him? But they definitely have to build their bench, because they're going to have to get out and take a break. So it's kind of we're about to find out. But we still have to see KD play now. You know what I mean? He still hasn't played since his injury, and see how that goes from there. But
I mean,
as far as on paper,
I would think that they got to do a physical for this to be complete. So there had to be some kind of Phoenix Suns looking into it. So I'm assuming his injury is something they don't feel that is going to linger, or is at least that serious that they're willing to take on making this trade and taking on KD.
I would have made that trade anyway if he was 100% healthy or 70% healthy, because he still has three more years on that contract. He just signed a contract, so regardless, you got KD for this year and three more years after. You know what I mean? So you gonna have him on his later years, but he's still in his prime. Not prime, but he's still, of course, his injuries creeping up. His list is creeping up too, along with his age, but. You know, he's on the later end of his prime, but still in his prime, but he's just hurt now. What
do you
helped
think
him
he ever
get
sits,
over anybody? Go ahead.
You ever think he sits back and thinks to himself, damn, what was I thinking of leaving the Warriors?
Oh, yeah. I think his pride got in the way. You know, even with the – with the Green situation, you know, because, like, honestly, I'm not finna let you sit there and talk to me and you telling me how good, you know what I mean, how good your team was before I came here, and you talking junk to me, talking about you don't need me, you know what I'm saying? And that's after winning a champion. You know what I mean? That's during a championship run that they had all together. You understand what I'm saying? So just, you know, even hearing that and KD being a great player, but I think his legacy took a hit. I think his legacy took a hit as far as him jumping from OKC to Golden State after we lose a Golden State. You know what I mean? Just me being on the team, you know what I mean? We lose a Golden State and you go jump on them and then win a championship back-to-back, MVPs. You understand what I'm saying? And we was up 3-1. You know what I mean? That really hits his legacy to me. He's a great player.
Yeah,
if he would have
stayed at Oakland and won many, many championships, I don't think anybody would have thought twice about it.
No. If he would have stayed at OKC, and won one or two or, you know, anywhere besides the team that we just lost to and we was up 3-1 after they just won back-to-back championships or, you know what I mean, our last year's championship. You understand what I'm saying?
But you got to look at the fact that he came on that Warrior team that just lost the series 3-1. They were up 3-1 and lost to Cleveland and was able to dethrone LeBron James and Kevin Love and all that, and essentially end up breaking the Cavaliers up. I mean, yes, it would have been great to see him. I don't understand what happened in OKC, because OKC had names. You know, you had Serge Ibaka, you had Westbrook, you had
Harden.
All this talent. You just could, yes.
You had them.
And I understand some of it had to do with contracts, and it got to a point that you couldn't afford everybody, but you had everybody, and that shouldn't have been – you know, there's something should have accomplished out of that. I got one more topic that I want to jump into before we get things wrapped up and let everybody know what's going on. And it's become more and more of a thing, and I have seen different clips and everything else, and I sent you a clip earlier today. I don't even know what it's actually called, but men and women, so it's not just a man's sport, but I'm watching these people slap the snot out of each other. And for those that just visualize videos, I know everybody's seen this on Facebook, and I've seen Dana White, so obviously he's got something to do with this. But you watch two grown people stand at a table, and they wind up and slap this holy smack out of each other. I don't know about you, Mario, but I know personally I have served in the United States Army. I have bounced for 12 years. I have played sports. I have competitively done bench press competitions. I tell you one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to stand there and let some dude smack the holy smack out of me, knock me out.
That's not my type either.
I'm not going to say for any amount of money, because I'm sure there might be a certain amount of money that I eventually do it one time, and that's it, I retire. I don't even know if there's a amount, because knowing what we've seen from different sports, especially the NFL and concussions, even the MMA, you have a chance to defend yourself. In this whole slap, whatever it's called, you don't get to defend yourself. You got to stand there and take – and I understand it's a slap, not a punch. But it is – most of the people I watch now, when I see these little clips, and I don't watch a lot of them, but I've seen quite a few of them over the years. Someone's done. And I don't know if I'm willing to take the chance of the brain damage and everything else, because there's no defending. It's one hard slap, and usually someone's knocked the hell out.
Yeah.
I want to know who thought of this and who signs – why are all these people signing up? Like, what possessed you to say, hey, I want to go stand there and get the crap slapped out of me for some money? I want to experience brain damage for a paycheck. Like, Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me.
And it can't be too much, you know what I mean? Probably a couple thousand, but.
Yeah, it's still a starter up thing, so that the pool.
Yeah.
No.
No, I can't see myself getting slapped.
No. Oh, Lord. And the fact that you stand there and just wait for it to be smacked, then next thing you know, you're waking up like, my dog, you didn't even defend yourself. Like, you just took a whole slap across your face. Like, he knocked you the hell out on a slap.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, another great, great show. Great time tonight. Excuse me. We're going to get everything wrapped up and get ready to get out of the studio, the Carolina Sports Plus studio. Make sure you guys give us a like on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports. Like I said, go over to www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. You can catch all the shows. And also we have tabs on there. You can catch the shows if you prefer to in. Believe it or not, the iPhone, the Apple platform is the most popular one. It kind of breaks down things for us. But say you listen to podcasts on iHeartRadio or Spotify or iTunes or Block Talk Radio or Spreecast or whatever the case may be, or Spreaker, I'm sorry. You guys can click on the tab there, follow the show while you're on that tab, on that particular platform. That way when our shows come up, it'll notify you guys. You guys can catch the shows that way. Make sure Tuesday nights you guys catch Race Chat Live at 8 o'clock. I caught all but I think the last 30 minutes of it today. Great show last night. Getting you guys ready for the Daytona 500 and talk all racing, but majority NASCAR. Of course, we got the 110 Nation Sports Show right here Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. And then coming in about a month or so, we got the Southern Dirt Track Report will be coming back on. They do local racing. Usually they come back about March, April, and they run till late summer, early fall. So looking forward to 8 o'clock Thursday nights as well. Looking forward to having them back. Glad to be able to hang out with my co-host Mario in the Carolina Sports Plus studio. Speaking of Carolina Sports Plus, get things wrapped up, let them know where they can find Carolina Sports Plus, actual physical building, website, and Facebook page.
You can find us at 1318 Highway 401 Business in Rayford, North Carolina. And you can find us online at CarolinaSportsPlus.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at CarolinaSportsPlus.
Looking forward to being back here next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Talk more sports, I'm sure. I'm sure the sporting world is not going to let us down. Like I said, once football season ended, I was like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? We're newly put together here. We ain't got football to talk about, and we only had a little bit to talk about anywhere, a little bit of football going on anyway. But the sports world has not let us down, as now we're in the second half of the NBA season, so we're going to have a lot there. Baseball season's right around the corner. NHL's rolling. NASCAR's rolling. And hell, we're right around the corner for March Madness as well. So
yep.
I'm sure the sporting world's not going to let us down at all. So make sure you guys tune in next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, right here on the Sports Radio, the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network for the 110 Nation Sports Show. Until next time.
Yep.